righteousness? See, this is the key. All other ground is sinking sand. You often hear me say there's all types of gospels out here. Psychology, as far as I'm concerned, is sinking sand. Self-esteem teaching is sinking sand. It's only the blood of Jesus. As I said a few Sundays ago, I don't need anybody to put me on a table and try to mess with my mind. Jesus is he's my psychologist. You understand what I'm saying? He's the one that does it for me. He's the one that man tries to come up with all kind of ways to try to fix it, okay? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on him, his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When I think about the anchor, I love fishing. I've had a couple boats, but I tell you, I love when you anchor, when you put that anchor out there in that water and it hooks, it ain't going nowhere. Excuse my English, excuse my double negative, but I'm going to tell you, it ain't going nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? So on Christ, the solid rock, we stand, people. We can't play games with the Lord. Then the third verse says, his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope to stay. And then the fourth verse says, when he shall come with the trumpet. And he's coming, people. He's coming. The trumpet, he's going to blow that trumpet. He's coming to take his people out of here. Of course, in a lot of mainstream denominations, they're beginning to question it. I'm not questioning God's word. The Bible is my way and my God. And you know what? The Bible is my binoculars. Does that make any sense? See, the Bible lets me know what's coming down the road. See, and then it says, when the trumpet come with the trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And the only way that we can be righteous and faultless is through Jesus Christ and what he's already done at Calvary. Are you listening to me? Praise you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the song. I thank you, Father God, for the ensemble. And I thank you, Father God, for that word, on Christ, the solid rock we stand. And Father God, if it's a day that we need to continue standing on the solid rock, it's today, January, I believe, the 8th, Lord Jesus, we need to stand on that rock like never before of the things that are just about ready to take place in this nation and the world. But Father God, I thank you. You told us to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. And Father God, so many Christians are looking down and sad. But dear God, if they focus their attention on you and your blood and your resurrection, what you've already done and realized, and many realize the tomb is empty, but we're still walking around with the head hung down. So Father, I thank and praise you, Lord, that we can hold our head up high in the midst of it all, dear God, in the midst of it all. Because God, you've got a plan for us. You said, let not our hearts be troubled. We that believe in God, believe also in him. And you said, you're going to go and make a mansion for us, dear God. And there's going to be some streets paved with gold. Now, those that don't believe that, that's on them. But God, I believe with all my heart. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, because I was 1 year ago, prior to 35 years ago, didn't even believe in the Bible, didn't want to have anything to do with it. But God, you opened up my eyes. And thank you, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, you help me. You help me. You help me. Help myself. Help me to bring this word, Lord, as I do a brief teaching, Lord, this morning. Oh, God, letting you people know, don't lose heart. They must not lose heart. Oh, God, I thank you. Give the Holy Spirit a hand clap. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians. In the future, we're going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read the first verse. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians. The fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Thank you, Jesus.
All who have it, say amen. Amen. Let's stand and read it together in the King James Version. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. I'm just going to read the first, I want us to read just the first verse right now. Would you read it together?
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
All right, the version I'm looking at, it says we faint not. You may be seated. The topic I have for you today, thank you, Holy Spirit. My son, Chris Tall, is not here. So his sister, you know, I might have you to get up and get my Bibles and get. No, I'm just teasing. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let me just say this. For the next, I think next Sunday, my wife is going to be bringing the word. And then after that, Elder Kenny. And I'm going to come back on the scene. But my topic will be, do not lose heart today and the next two or three times that I speak to you. And I want you to listen to this real good. I wrote this as the Lord gave it to me this morning. If we are discontented with what we have, we may lose it without gaining anything better. Now, I want to say it again. If we are discontented with what we have. You know, sometimes we spoiled American Christians, we just like to go and murmur and complain about every little thing. But the Holy Spirit is saying here, if we are discontented with what we have, we may lose it without gaining anything better. How many of you want something better? I know I do. In Christ, I know I do, okay. All right. I'm going to read, do some reading, but I want to share this with you. I wrote it down. Some things I have to write down. I don't remember everything. With all the subtle deception that is pride and competition that's creeping into churches, small, medium, and mega, God has a remnant. God has a remnant in the corporate body of Christ, a remnant. I hope you're in that narrow gate, because a lot of people that go to a building on Sundays, a lot of them out there on that wide gate playing games with God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We must have the same mind that Jesus had. Here, within the remnant, where it can plainly be seen that God is exalting us, his people, in the midst of all the perversion, all the mess around us, God is exalting us higher. And we, you and me, though, we must continue to be of the same mind if we are going to build God's spiritual walls. I said this some time ago, back there during the summer. God wants us to be an example for our community and in this tri-state, etc. Now, as you know, I like to teach the best. I'm not the greatest one, but I like to teach. Now, let me take my time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wednesday night, I did a many teaching on prayer. And I often wonder how many born again believers are truly praying and seeking the Lord and praying through. In your program, you see a write up I did a few years ago. I want you to take it out and look at it with me. And it says, seeking God with a genuine heart. All who have it, say amen. Amen. I want to ask you something. Are you seeking God with a genuine heart? Hosea 10 and 12. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just wanted to, I want you to get the point, then I'll go on where I know the Lord, I feel the Lord wants me to go. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. And I love this, I've always loved this, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, in order for us to break the fallow ground and seek God with a sincere heart, our praying needs to be pressed, pursued with an energy that never tires, a persistency which will not be denied, and a courage which will never never fails. No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor and his or her staff who is not praying is playing and pretending. The people who are not praying are straying. And it's a lot of people straying. Now, I'm not talking about people looking for churches. I'm talking about people that's just straying and playing games with the Lord. Are you listening to me? You see what I'm saying? The pulpits can be a shop window to display one's talent. There's even a lot of entertainment in pulpits, big time. Like I said earlier, there is a remnant that wants to please and follow God. Even some musicians, and I don't see it as in this gentleman right here, okay, thank God for him, okay? All right, thank God for him. But even some musicians, dancers, can be great entertainers, concentrating on how well they can perform with their talent. But God says, without a genuine relationship with him, it is all in vain. The prayer closet allows no showing off. I'm going to say that again. The prayer closet allows no showing off. When you get a chance to read Matthew chapter 6, some people pray publicly to be seen. Some people pray, they want to, oh, I'm on a 21-day fast. They want to be seen, but they are nothing but hypocrites according to God. And then it says, poverty-stricken as most churches are today in many areas, it is the most stricken here in the place of prayer, individually as well as corporately. You can read the rest of it when you get home. And because many professing Christians does not have a genuine sound prayer life, fear creeps in. Now, I got a message on fear. My wife and I was just yesterday, or a couple days ago, whenever it was, we were watching a man doing a teaching on fear, and I told my wife, I've already wrote it up, and he started working on some of the same things that God had given me. And about 15 years ago, I don't read a lot of supplements, but this is a book I started reading on fear because I was going through some things. You know, we all go through some situations. Make fear bow down to you. Make fear bow down. Now, I'm not gonna necessarily teach you a lesson on fear, but the enemy is putting fear in a lot of God's people because they're not, you know what? They're not trusting the solid rock. They're putting their trust in everything else. And I've said this many times. I love people of all races. I don't care. I'm not in the black movement. I'm not in the white movement. I'm in one movement. That's the movement of Jesus Christ. I love in Christ, I love everybody. In Christ. This book that I have, it says fear. And it says F stands for false. E stands for evidence, A stands for appearing, R stands for real. False evidence appearing real. And there's a lot of people in churches that are walking around in fear, and fear is breeding doubt. And I'm not going to say it all, but this book, How to Train an Elephant. Now, as I often say, and I'm going to get back to this, but I ask the Holy Spirit to help me, if a bear or a lion a gorilla walks in that door, I'm going to be the first one out of here. Okay? I'm going to be the first one out of here. Now, David, and I'm going to get on that in another couple of weeks. David, you know, he destroyed a lion and a bear, I believe. But see, I'm not David. I believe I'd be the first one out that door. But the fear that God's talking about, that the devil likes to put on you, making you feel that you're not going to make it, that you're stupid, you're not educated, you don't, whatever the situation may be. But like I always say, Jesus has done it for you already. All we need to do is put more faith and you know what? God's not concerned necessarily about our success. He's concerned about our faithfulness toward his word. That's what he's concerned with. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, so I want you to make sure you do not allow, and watch the people you hang out with. It can be your family, it can be anybody on your job. Watch the people, because you know what? Evil company corrupts good morals. Are you listening to me? And also, it also says in the Bible, abstain from all appearance of evil. I wish I could have known this and more of this years ago, even after I came back to the Lord. God knows I do. But I thank God that he's opened up my eyes as a result of my weights and sins. He's opened up my eyes. And so many times I won't put my hand at you. If you're the problem, Brother Horton, when I got three pointing right back at me and one trying to get back at me. And we always want to say it's somebody else's blame. You notice by Adam and Eve and their situation, and what did Adam say to God? That's the woman you gave me. You see? But we don't want to evaluate ourselves. We don't want to see ourselves. But we can look at everybody else. And God is saying, no, 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 no. Now listen to this, what I'm about to read to you. Because boy, I tell you, and it's about the past. See, I like to do it this way. I'm not going to be running. And God said, oh, glory, and God said, I'm not going to do all of that. I'm not going to do all of that. Because most of the time when people walk out the door, you ask them what was preached, they don't know about it. They were just excited. Now, I'm not saying sometimes if the anointing of God is in it, fine. But I like for you to really get it, but just taking my time. I wasn't always this way. I've never really been an eloquent speaker anyway, but that's all right. God has called me, and I had a preacher tell me years ago, boy, you're one of those unorthodox preachers, and I guess I is. I guess I is. But you know what? You know what? I read it to you a while back. I'm going to give you the truth. It might not come out exactly the way you would like to, but I guarantee you, and especially when I read the word to you, you better listen. Because you know why, people? And I'm not talking about this election. Something get ready to happen in this world and nation. And I personally believe that Jesus, God, is about ready to tap Jesus on the shoulder and tell him to go down and get my people out of here. And you better make sure you're with the Lord like you're supposed to be. And I say it every Sunday, don't get locked up in this racism thing. Get locked up in Jesus. And I was sharing with someone this morning, you know, my wife and I, we love the Lord. And I know I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes along the way. But let me tell you something. Don't tailgate leaders to the point if they stumble, you stumble right along with them. You tailgate Jesus. He's never caused anybody to stumble. Oh, you listen to me. Jesus has never caused anybody to stumble. He is God. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. I want you to listen real good. And I'm not even going to be able to get to the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, but you'll hear it in the future. And don't forget today, like I said, do not lose heart. Some of you might be thinking about giving up. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. And if you don't think it's worth it, you know, some people go to church, and they're faithful. They go to church. They do what they're supposed to do. And then they get thinking, the devil get in their mind, I don't know whether it's worth it. And you see your friends out there, well, they're joining stuff, they're having the ball. Whoa, watch out. Then read Psalms 37, but mainly read Psalm 73, because David was that way. He was trying to do right, all these other things, and all of a sudden, I believe it was David, and then he realized, he said, God, forgive me. And he says, I know you're going to take care of the wicked. And if we can just have the patience, people, and I really mean this, thank you, Holy Spirit, patience and just wait on God. Wait on him. And while you're waiting, and some of you're not getting the desires of your heart right now. But that's all right. And while you're waiting, God is trying to teach you something. And I stand here now, I'm speaking from experience. Because pride that's in churches today, from the pulpits to the pews, is unbelievable. Competition, greed, this prosperity message. I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against having nice things. God has blessed my wife and I. God bless many of you. And even if you don't have a new car, if you don't have the best home, maybe you don't have the best furniture, but if you love Jesus, that's why he's all you need, people. And as I often say, what about those people? And I met someone years ago when I was in the military that loved Jesus but was a peasant. And he and his family used to have to take water and clean the hard floor. They didn't have a bathroom like you and me. But they knew Jesus. I didn't know Jesus then. But they knew Jesus. Are you listening to me? So it's not the material things you have. It's your relationship with Jesus. Are you listening to me? Now listen to this, people. The path of most believers. The word of God is to be the criteria for all things, not churches, not preachers, not denominations, etc. I ask people sometimes, are you saved? I'm a Baptist. Big deal. Doesn't mean that the denominationalism don't get it. I'm not knocking the remnant that's in a denomination that loved Jesus. My mother was an AME, but she loved the Lord and she was sweet. She wasn't a phony like some people that was around her as I was coming up as a boy. That's why I tell parents, be careful what you do around children, teenagers, because they're watching you. Consequently, everything must be addressed according to the word of God. What does the Bible say about the matter? Whatever the matter may be. Regrettably, most believers do not follow that route, but rather, whatever that denomination or a particular popular preacher might say. Now, am I against popular preachers? No. But so many times, in America, they made celebrities out of these people in these pulpits in most cases, not in all. In fact, untold millions are in hell right now simply because they did not follow the word of God, the Bible, but rather they followed men. That has ever been the problem in the church and continues to be the problem until this moment as I stand here to you. That's the problem in most churches. Following man. You love and respect man. You love and respect those in the office. You respect that office. But you and love and respect them. But you follow what God is saying. I tell people all the time, when I'm up here and if I say whatever I'm saying, you go back home and take your Bible and see if I'm correct. See if Sister Ingram's correct. The believer is to see what the word of God says about any given situation and then follow accordingly, irrespective as to what their church, pastor, denomination, etc., may or may not do. This one thing is certain. When all of us stand before the Lord Jesus, the rule by which we will be judged will not be churches or religious denominations or anything else of that nature, but rather what's in the Bible. That's why from Washington, D.C., and it's been going on for years, that's why they are trying to take the Bibles out of America. They've already taken them out of school. That's why they're taking them down crosses. I'm reading a book now by Youssef, and he says, if they take down all the crosses of America, America's in trouble. You can't even put it, they might even try to come in and try to take this down one day. And the cross is the answer. You know why man is against the cross? Because it convicts them. That's the reason why they're against it. See, they don't want to have anything to do about it. And when I used to take my class to Washington, D.C., you used to see scriptures on walls and you, Abraham, and they've literally tried to scratch all that out. Washington, D.C. has become, as I often say, a pagan government, people against God and nation. People can pretend. And I'm not just talking about Obama's administration. It would go back to the 60s up to now. Oh, you listen to me. It's been started. It started back in the 60s when they took the Bibles and the praying out of schools. And that's why I tell parents, and I'm going to get back to this, that's why I tell parents every Sunday, make sure you have some kind of family devotion going on in your home reading the Bible. Let your children memorize scriptures. The molding years are between 7 and 8 years old. What are you teaching your children? What are you teaching your grandchildren? Well, you listen to me. And this is the answer. Now, I don't care, you can come up in the best homes and the devil's still going to get a hold of them and try to mess and tear them apart. But the seed is there, and a lot of them, many of them will come back. Some won't, but many will come back. Are you listening to me? So that's why I open up today is we got to pray. We got to intercede for our children. We got to intercede for teachers. Are you listening to me? And especially those saved people. We got a teacher sitting right over here, Sister Mitchell. She's like, let's keep her up in prayer. I think she's retired, but she might be doing something on the side. I don't know. But let's keep the schools up in prayer. And much prayer because it's a Babylon. And I said this before, the NEA, the National Education Association, they are anti-Bible, and they're not even thinking about the children. They make you think that they're thinking about the children, but they aren't. They're in for politics and how much money they can get. Let me get on. I don't want to get off because I get off on that and I get all crazy. Now, don't you say some of you are thinking that he is already crazy. Oh, my God. Praise you, Jesus. All right, let me go on. As I said, denomination churches is not going to judge. God's going to judge. So one had better know what the word of God says and then determine in his or her heart and mind to follow the word irrespective as to what will be the results. You know what? That's why we just got through restoration studying the book of Acts. And when you look at the life of Paul and maybe a few others in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, do you know what? Paul, he went through something. That's why we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter in the future. Do you know that man went through something? But he didn't give up on what he had to do in trying to win others over to Jesus. He didn't give up. But man is falling for every look. And if it sounds good and looks good and the crowd is going for it, we're going to go for it. You better check it out. Try the spirits by the spirit. Are you listening to me? You better check it out. Be careful. The phrase, we faint not, means that God has not necessarily called us to be successful, but rather faithful. Faint not implies maintenance of a holy courage and perseverance. Now, again, I'm going to just read a little bit more about faint not. When we learn from this statement and personal experience that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the cross, alone sets captives free. Consequently, Satan marshals all his forces against its presentation. He uses every tactic at his disposal to be sure discouragement due to these many obstacles is one of the greatest weapons. I tell you, he's after, and if you're doing the work for God and you love Jesus, now, if you're not being attacked, you better watch it. Something ain't going right. You understand what I'm saying? If anybody knows about attack, that lady and I, we know about attack. We're not the only one. When you and not only in this church, in the remnant that's really loved the Lord and doing for the Lord, you're going to be attacked. And as I was sharing with someone, a couple of people out there, don't worry about what people think of you. They're going to look. They didn't even like Jesus. I call the Pharisees and the Sadducees church folk. They didn't even love Jesus. See, they were living under the law. Moses was their God. And see, and so many times people are still living under the old covenant. We have a new covenant now. Jesus Christ has come, hung there on that cross for you and me. You know, and not only that, that blood was shed for you and me. Are you listening to me? And not only that, they buried him. And then they wanted, then they put him in a tomb. But somehow Jesus got out of there. And he is alive and well. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Oh, you listen to me. That's why you don't have to worry about it. And I always say this, to live is Christ, people. To die is gain. I always use this example. I know it might sound a little brutal, but that's all. Put a 38 to my head, bam, there goes Ingram. I'll be with Jesus. But until then, I'm going to be doing, and not just here on Sunday morning, I'm going to be going to the prisons. This is a prison man right here. I'm going to be going to the prisons. I'm going to be going to and the nursing homes. They just made an announcement today about, I think it's next Saturday, go to the nursing home. I wonder how many people has really gone and really serving God. I love the beat, but we get hung up on the beat sometimes. Emotionalism. But are we really going to serve God when we walk out of here? Are we really going to help somebody? But are we so concentrated on me, myself, and I? God, help us to help ourselves. As I said, the devil, Satan, let me start over again. I'm taking my time with this. You all don't have anywhere to go. We learn from this statement and personal experience that the gospel of Jesus alone sets captives free. Consequently, Satan marshals all his forces against his presentation. He uses every tactic at his disposal, and to be sure, discouragement due to these many obstacles is one of the greatest weapons. As we've already stated, most of the opposition will come not from the world per se, but rather from the church. Those who compromise the gospel will greatly oppose those who don't. And there are churches and some of these big men, and not only big and small, are compromising the word of God. Politically correctness, even in churches. We don't want to offend anybody. I wonder when John the Baptist, when he was baptized, and he saw those church folk, the Pharisees, coming down there, and what did he say? What are you doing coming down here? You haven't even repented. Now somebody would think he was hard, but he wasn't hard. What about Jesus? Another man of compassion and love. He was our Savior. Look what he did. He got angry because they were using God's temple, not for prayer, but other things. See, he got angry. Turned the tables over. Also, he even told something, because I haven't gotten this nerve yet, but maybe, I don't know. But he said, you're a bunch of vipers, you're a bunch of snakes. Jesus said this. He said this. The Savior who is compassionate. Why? He wasn't a mean person. When you bring the word, a lot of times people think you're mean. Say, you don't have it together. Well, you know what? I thank God. I remember when I was out there in the world. Yes, I was one of those tough guys. Crazy. Thought I had it together. Didn't have anything. And Muslim turned me against the Bible, turning me against white folk. Thank God for the family I was adopted in. They didn't teach me that, especially my mother. She taught me to love everybody. And how I was out there in the world. But God used the toughness that I had out there and in the bars and in the streets. He used that toughness and turned me around, and now he's using it for his glory. And I ask God, Holy Spirit, help me to put on more humility that I can be the man that you want me to be. Help me to put on more humility. That's why you read it when you get home. That's why I love Psalms 131. It talks about humility, being humble. There's a lot of impressionists in churches. And trying to impress other people. Forget about all that, people. Good Lord of mercy. Just come to church, come to whatever building you go to, and just praise God with a pure heart. And when you leave, yeah, the enemy's waiting for us, but that's all right. God put him under his foot. Yes, he did. When Jesus said it's finished, I wonder what that meant. I wonder what that meant. Good Lord, let me go on. I'm almost finished. Thank you, Jesus. That's about the fourth time I said that, I guess. Those who compromise the gospel will greatly be opposed who don't. Those who teach false doctrine will also greatly oppose those who don't, but rather proclaim the true gospel. Those who have instituted their own type of government respecting the church rather than that of the Holy Spirit will greatly oppose those who attempt to maintain government as given in Scripture. Woo. As well, Satan will greatly hinder on a personal basis, oppressing the preacher of the gospel, the preacher who preaches the cross, or anyone, for that matter, who attempts to do anything for the Lord. The manner of opposition of which I speak is similar to that which Paul underwent in 2 Corinthians. The fourth chapter, all those things that man went through. Of course, the degree of opposition as suffered by Paul probably would not be allowed by the Lord regarding most believers. Nevertheless, it would be the same manner. The type of opposition of which we speak pertains to spirits of darkness, which literally attack the believer in the realm of acute discouragement, fear. That's why I'm going to do a teaching on fear, because there's a lot of, you know what? I'm going to say, because years ago through the Bible, you know, I had a defense mechanism. I wouldn't let anybody in. Defense mechanism, you know, trying to be hard and tough. And it was just me. I wasn't trying. It was just me. But then I realized after I came to Jesus, and after I understood what Jesus has done for me, and knowing that I had the power of the Holy Spirit, that defense mechanism is gone. You just come on in. I got Jesus now. Do you get the point, people? And this is the key right here. All right. The Holy Spirit told me. Stop. Listen. How many of you remember we read the book of Acts, studied the book of Acts for a year and a half? Okay. Acts of the Holy Spirit. And in most churches today, we've been attacked a lot too, but in most churches today, there's a form of godliness, but God's true power is denied. Because man has tried to come up with everything to make it pleasant for people. Thank you, Jesus. And most Christians are not studying the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, people, if it weren't for this Bible, I wouldn't be standing here today. Not only do you read it, you got to apply it. Because there's going to be forces coming up against us like never before. And I'm not just talking about here in this church. I'm talking about in the body of Christ in general. You know what? I listen to T.D. Jakes every once in a while. But how many of you remember Jim Baker, the PTL. Okay. Do you know when Jim Baker, and I don't agree with him, his teaching, but he's saved just like me, but he's back on the force now. And Jimmy Swaggart and some others. Do you know Jim Baker said in tears when he was in prison, church folk put him down. And he said that T.D. Jakes was the one that came to him and encouraged him. See, that's what it's all. Even if a brother or sister falls short, we got it. The Bible says those who are spiritual, go to them and encourage them. Don't gossip and slander them, put them down. The other one, Jimmy Swaggart. Not the Hilliard that my wife and I went to in Texas years ago, but another black guy, Evie Hill, I think his name was, and he used to be on the board at TBN. He called Jimmy Swaggart up. When Jimmy Swaggart fell short years ago, and he said, told Jimmy Swaggart, don't you give up. Jim Baker's back. Jimmy Swaggart's back. And then there was another one. There's another person that encouraged another powerful man in the Lord. Why did I bring that up? People, what is love? Jesus, when he hung there, he could have come down off that cross and did a number on those people.
All those people that were there, he could have come down and did enough. But no, when he hung there, he said, a little girl from Salisbury is going to be born. Salisbury, Maryland is going to be born. A little lady that works at the daycare, she's going to be born. He said, I got to stay up here for them. And that little old boy, that boy that they threw in an orphanage, he's going to be born. He saw me up there. That's why he didn't come down. He saw you up there too. So let's all of us, take heed to what thus saith the Lord. Watch what you do around your children. Please, I beg you. Husbands and wives, don't argue in front of your children. I'm not going to get into what I used to see as a boy. Don't argue and fuss in front of your teenagers. Are you listening to me? And I thank God. I pray that there's some here, some praying grandmothers. On the broadcast, I just had a special session for elderly people, those grandmothers who have to raise children all over again because of their selfish children. Thank God. Thank God. And let's continue to pray for those mothers who have to raise children alone because the deadbeat dads have gone off, or in most cases the men, but sometimes there's women who go off and leave the children too. Let's pray for them people, everybody's name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And don't forget, don't allow the devil calls you to lose heart. Pray for Washington, D.C. Pray for churches. Pray for leaders. Much prayer is needed. I'm talking about sincere prayer. Those grandmothers and those grandfathers, especially the Christian grandmothers and grandfathers who pray and pray through. Jesus told his people, his disciples, you couldn't even watch and pray with me 1 hour? I wonder how many really pray through. Sometimes we need to turn the TV off, all the electronics, just get rid of it. Not rid of it, literally, but and just get alone with the Lord. I'm telling you, just get alone with him. We're living in trying times, and it didn't just start today. Don't let hatred be a part of your life. Don't let malice be a part of your life. Restoration, you've heard this before. For issues from my childhood, I carried anger, etc. Even in the pulpit, and couldn't understand it. And thank God he delivered me. And as a result of that anger that I was carrying, came down with a serious disease. See, don't hold it on the inside. Give it to Jesus, people. Give it to Jesus. So many people are suffering now because of illness, because they're not giving it to Jesus. Give it to him. He'll help you. Now, I'm not, we're all going to leave here, but I'm saying, why not feel good? I try to feel good today. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Be a good lamp. Keep your spiritual batteries charged by reading the word of God. Are you listening to me? Thank you. Father, I thank you. And I pray, God, that I've said something. If it's just one person that has been touched, Lord, it's been worth it all for allowing me to get up so early this morning, 2, 3 o'clock, Lord, to meditate on you and your word. It's worth it, Lord. And Father God, as that banner says back there, an immortal soul is beyond all price. You are about souls, dear God. Christians encouraging one another and loving one another despite the differences. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, as I said earlier, all this denominationalism, worshiping their denominations and et cetera, you want us to worship you, God. You. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Father, as I stand here, I lift up every teenager, every child, saved or unsaved, Lord. Thank you for sending laborers. I pray for laborers, Lord. Laborers that will come in and, Lord, not only in this church, but laborers, true Christian laborers, will come in and help, Lord. Invest more Christian time with children. The God of sports, dear God, is taking over in this nation. I'm not against sports, God, but dear God, we are exploiting our children in sports, but we're not developing in your word, developing them in your word. Thank you for balance, dear God. Thank you for balance, balance, balance. Balance, balance. Hey, a corona de corobo, corrienda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping us not to lose heart, Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping us not to give up, Holy Spirit. Thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to keep stay focused on you and your crucifixion, and then the Holy Spirit can work in our lives like never before. Thank you for helping us to be steadfast and unmovable, continuing to abound in your work, knowing that our labor is not in vain, dear God. Hallelujah. Father God, help us to stop comparing ourselves and putting ourselves down, comparing ourselves with somebody else. Help us to just be ourselves in you, God. Father God, I lift up those true fathers, dear God, doing their best to raise children, and mothers, dear God, to raise their children. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is there someone that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? I think everybody, as I look out here, loves the Lord. Let me put it this way, they're saved. If you feel that you're not living in a victorious life for Christ, let me just say this, get the pride out of the way, people. Pride is a killer. The opposite of pride is humility. Believe me, I know what the human nature do. I know what the enemy would try to do with our sin nature that we have, but we don't have to be enslaved by it. Is there someone that wants just a general prayer, just want encouragement? Just come on up. Don't worry about people. Just come on up. Anybody. It doesn't make any, young or old, doesn't make any difference. Just want us to join together and pray with you. Just come on up in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Is there someone else who'd like to come up for prayer? Hallelujah. Sister Inglia, you go ahead. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I want to pray with that just all the way.
Okay.
Praise you, Jesus. You know what? I can sum up everything that I felt the Lord giving me. One word.